Welcome, folks, to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast, coming to you from the home of SVI Media. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
We're so grateful you're with us today.
We sure are.
So, we're still in the 9 months of winter. I know we start our podcast off a lot about the weather, but when you live in Star Valley, there's not really a whole lot more to talk about.
Mm-mm, there's not. There's not a whole lot of global warming here. No.
Yeah. Global warming is not a thing in...
Star Valley.
Well, probably really not a thing in Wyoming. I don't think it ever caught any traction here.
True. I'm not sure about the other areas, but we're definitely getting a lot.
I think global warming is more has more traction in Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
Not because of global warming, but
because...
Too many people
are hugging trees.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you got those tree huggers.
They have the Nancy Pelosi syndrome. But we don't talk about politics on...
We don't.
No, we don't.
Because we just don't.
Yeah. Like to thank our sponsors, EcoLife today. Appreciate you guys.
Star Valley Health. We appreciate them. They've been busy the last couple of days, that's for sure.
It has been busy at Star Valley Health.
Yeah. Yesterday was crazy.
SVI Media. Thanks, Dan Dockstetter and the gang.
And thanks, Duke. He saved our bacon because I went to boost our podcast.
So anytime MJ touches the computer, you have to be forewarned that anything could happen.
Well,
so
I can't help
so it. Last night... Our last podcast was Candace Jensen about ski-joring. So Megan, my wife, comes to me and says, hey, I just got a text from my sister. She went to click on the link and it was a horse giving birth.
What? I know. Sometimes I just have problems. But Duke, to my defense, said that they've changed Facebook boosting. So
well, I'd say.
I'm just not going to boost anymore.
Okay. Yeah. No more boosters.
No more boosters.
So I went and found the link and clicked on it, and it wasn't a horse giving birth. It was a cow having its hoofs trimmed.
Yeah. We are very educational here at Why Your Story.
Hey, we cover every topic, and we just put Candace's face on there to trick you to watching cows' hoofs being trimmed.
Can you imagine her face when she pulled it up?
I felt horrible.
Oh. Okay.
Like, no, I did not do this. This was not me. This was all... This has MJ written all over it.
Me?
Yeah.
No
it
way.
It did.
Okay.
Do you have your phone on silent?
Yes, I do. It's a busy little phone today.
Okay. So rumor has it that your husband, Steve, was going around terrorizing the neighborhood.
Well, he was trying to do a good deed. And so he had the skidster out with those big old drifts. And I mean, they're 10, 12 feet.
Oh, it's amazing.
And then he hit the neighbor. We'd just taken dinner into the neighbor who had her gallbladder out as a baby. And then he totally hits their water pipe. And so now they have no
pressure.
Isn't
their water pipe underground?
Some of it's in a shed. And they have some stuff underneath their crawl space. But for some reason, Steve hit this big, tall thing. And now he's getting a...
Good job, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, good job.
No good deed goes unpunished.
No good deed.
So MJ touches a computer, all hell breaks loose.
That's so
true. Steve touches a skid steer, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Have you guys thought about a rest home? Or you know,
not yet.
You know those, not the ones where it's self-care, but the like the older home communities where you just... You go
padded
play,
walls?
No. You go play racquetball, then you go play bingo. Oh. Then you take your meds and take a nap. I just can see you and Steve hanging out there. I just don't think water pipes would be broke and
yeah, but we could do other calving. Things. We could do other damage to other people.
Well, that's true.
Oh boy.
Hey, all I can
life
tell you
life is never boring around me.
All I can tell you is I feel better today than I did last time.
Oh.
I was not well.
I have a can for you in my car.
A can
of Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, it's in my car. So
I feel like I've got over the Dr. Pepper blues.
Good, good. Yeah. And now it's just the snow, the S word.
Yeah,
the snow blues.
The snow.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't start getting warm soon, I'm going to start drinking. Probably not alcohol, but I will start
drinking.
No, but
you'll go for the real Dr. Pepper.
I will.
Yeah.
I will pound the full sugar if things don't change here. I can see why people get depressed.
Oh, absolutely. I concur.
Anyway, so I have been very excited about this podcast today, and I've been working on this for almost a year, I think.
That's how long it takes him to get
together. We have one of the coolest guys in studio today.
That is so true.
And I don't think Star Valley understands how cool this cat is.
He's pretty cool. I've only met him a couple of times. He probably doesn't even remember. But, yeah, he is very cool.
So in-house,
one of my favorite.
In-house today, we have Dr. Vince Call, who happens to be one of our emergency room physicians at Star Valley Health.
That's right.
So I have worked with Dr. Call on numerous occasions. I've brought him patients on numerous occasions. And he's just a cool, calm, collected cat.
Hmm.
And so I thought it would be fun today to bring Dr. Call in. And any question goes. He's been nervous that I was going to ask him some inappropriate questions, which I might.
And he has his tie on and everything. We've never had...
He dresses up for every occasion.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a great photo shoot.
He's just over... Dr. Call, you can say something now.
I'm glad to be here.
I know that's a lie.
His nose keeps growing, his nose longer, growing, longer. Growing.
So, first off, Dr. Call, for our two listeners that listen to this podcast...
We have four. We have four, I told you.
Just kidding. We are grateful for everybody that listens to our podcast. So, Dr. Call, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from. Tell us about your family and why on earth you decided to come to the icebox of the United States.
Snow globe.
Well, I was born in Arkansas. My father was born in the Mormon colonies down in Mexico. And so people... A lot of times think because my name is Call that I'm from Star Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
almost every patient will ask me, you know, who I belong to, which I didn't even know what that question meant. So the first time I was asked that, I said, my wife? Because I didn't know that that meant who are your parents. So that's a...
Yeah. Oh, especially it's in Star Valley. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who do you belong to? So I belong to... And sometimes people will just say, who are your parents? And so then I'll say, Jim and Teresa, and I watch them raise their eyebrows. And yeah, I can see the wheels turn inside their head. Because the other thing I noticed about Star Valley is people don't want to admit that they might not know everybody in the valley. Mm. They just assume they know everybody. So they sit there and work on that. I'm like, they're not from here. So I let them down easy.
Love it. Love it.
That's great.
But I went to BYU for college and went to med school in Arizona.
Go Cougars.
Go Utes.
BYU is a Provo Cougars.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Oh boy.
So, BYU and Provo.
Did they win games back then? Because they don't.
Yeah,
know.
They won a lot of basketball games back then.
Well, it was probably the basketball. But what years were you there at BYU? Do you remember?
I graduated in 2009.
Okay,
dude, those were some good football years. Those are when we were beating Utah's can on the gridiron.
At least once.
No, MJ,
we did beat Utah in football.
Yeah, I remember.
Let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on.
Oh, wow.
That hurts MJ's heart.
So then I went to med school in Arizona and did my clinical rotations out in South Carolina. And then I did residency up in upstate New York.
And then
I stayed on for a couple years after I finished residency, and then we moved out here.
So what brought you to here, though? I mean, were you like a little dart?
We got to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Your family. I want to know how you got, your dad got from the Mormon colonies in Mexico to Arkansas. And then I want to know about your family.
Okay. So my dad says that, so his parents moved around quite a bit. His dad was a college graduate, worked in the grocery business. And so they lived in southern New Mexico, southern Arizona, Lordsburg, New Mexico, and I can't think of the town in Arizona. It's on the border of Mexico. So he did some college, wound up living in Albuquerque because that's where his parents had kind of settled finally. And then he always says that he moved to Arkansas to get divorced. And so he he got divorced from his first wife and then met my mom, who was also divorced. And then I'm the first out of three kids that they had together.
Okay.
There's eight of us total, though. My mom had one, my dad had four.
Okay. Okay.
So we're a big, happy, mixed family. And then my family, I am married. We actually got my poor wife. We got married before I went to med school. Oh. And so she got to suffer through that whole thing.
Oh.
And we have 8 children total.
And how old is the oldest?
He's 18.
18? Your youngest? Your
youngest, sorry.
6.
6, okay.
And where's your wife from?
So she was born in Salt Lake. Her parents moved around quite a bit also. I actually met her in Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
Because her parents had moved there. Yeah.
That's cool. Very cool.
So being from Arkansas, are you familiar with Bill and Hillary Clinton?
I've heard of them.
Okay.
Yep.
He
was the governor.
Oh, he was the governor at that time. Oh.
Well, when I was a kid, he was.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. Some people have heard of him. Some haven't.
I was in the 6th grade when he was elected president the first time.
Mm, okay.
So
we're a little older than him.
Yeah, we are.
Lots.
Yes. We are a plethora of years older. Okay, so why Star Valley? Let's get back there.
Well,
so because have you had an X-ray? I mean, have you had a CAT scan to confirm that you're mentally stable there?
Did you have like a dartboard and you just whoosh-ah?
No, so I knew that I had some relatives in Star Valley, Wyoming. I had heard of it when I was in high school, and that it was a relatively full of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so when the church announced they were going to build a temple here, mm-hmm. I was in residency in New York, and I thought, oh, that'd be interesting to go check that out and maybe even live there, right? And I even called back then the hospital here to see if they had any openings for ER doctors, if they would be willing to do some kind of thing where, like, if I started working for them, maybe I could get like a sign-on bonus while I was a resident, because some places will actually do that. And they're like, no, we're full, and the doctors we have, they don't leave. So I thought, well, that makes me even more intrigued, because if the doctors don't leave, it must be a pretty decent place to work, right?
Cool.
So fast forward several years, probably 7 years, and then my in-laws decided to retire, and they decided to move to Star Valley. So they picked a place out in Star Valley Ranch and built a house. And they told us about it. And as they were kind of telling us the story, we thought, well, we kind of want to go check it out. So we came and looked at it. The hospital wasn't hiring, but we came out here. And it was around the time my wife, too, said she had this feeling that it was time to leave New York. And I had kind of mixed feelings about that. But as you know, she was right. So
we are always right.
Of course.
They always are.
Yeah, absolutely. How dare you question that?
We came out and checked it out in July. We spent a whole 48 hours here probably, and then turned around, went back to New York and worked on getting our house sold. And then I was trying to find a job. And so I wound up working down in Evanston for a year before the job opened up here.
Oh.
And I started here.
Nice. Nice. So where do you live now in the Valley?
I'm in Star Valley Ranch.
Oh, okay.
So right there by the in-laws.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right down the street.
Dude, that's awesome.
That is cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
We have a really good thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're really happy.
That's very great.
Sometimes I think I wish my in-laws were closer, because my wife tells me that I'm not the best communicator and all that fun to talk to sometimes, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm glad it's not, but. Anyway, that's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So why would you not want to leave New York, upstate New York?
I liked my job there. I taught residents and med students.
Where at? Like, what was this in the big city?
No, it was in Elmira, New York. So it's about 4 hours from the city.
Oh, wow. So it was pretty rural then, type thing, man?
Relatively. The city of Elmira is probably 30,000 people, but the community, the area there was probably 100,000.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Really pretty area.
And you were teaching residents that were coming in to be emergency room doctors?
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so I supervised the residents and then would do teaching, taught lectures and things. Yeah.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed that.
Okay.
And I knew that if I came out here, that wasn't going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could teach a bunch of medics and EMTs and stuff. Well, and I know you love that.
That's why I'm drawn to that.
So you know, you went to undergrad, then you went to medical school in Arizona. What caused you to go into emergency medicine?
Well, the short answer is when I decided I wanted to be a doctor, I imagined a doctor seeing someone that was sick or otherwise afflicted and figuring out what's the matter with them and saving their life. And so of all the specialties, I feel like emergency medicine matches up to that the best. Mm. I actually matched into general surgery and did a year of that. So I was on track to be a surgeon and had gotten accepted in the program and everything. But at the time, I had 6 children, and I just thought, I kind of had this realization that the commitment isn't just the 5 years of residency. It's a lifetime commitment. And everybody told me that when I was in med school and I was telling them I was going to do surgery. A lot of people would tell me, you're a family guy. I don't think that's what you want to do. But I loved it so much. And so I went after it, and then I kind of realized on my own, like, I could either be a dad or be a surgeon. It's really hard to do both.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I decided to give up surgery and switch out. So
That's wonderful. I have to know some of your crazy stories.
Were you going to ask that question? We got to get to some of the crazy stories. I mean, everybody's dying to know. You get an emergency room doctor. We want to know. We just some crazy stuff you've seen over the years.
Probably the most memorable from residency was one night we had this. How G-rated is this podcast?
Oh, it's not G-rated at all. Okay. Anything goes.
Yeah.
We just can't say a few words like Democrat.
Oh.
Biden. Biden. Can't say Biden.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So I had this 19-year-old that had come in the middle of the night, probably 2 a.m. He told me that what had happened was he went to this house party and his girlfriend was having sex with some other guy, and he like walked in on him. Okay. So he attacks the guy. And so the guy that's, you know, doing his girl picks up a sword off the wall above the headboard and turns around and cuts this guy's side open. So this guy,
like at the abdomen level.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Like on the left side by the spleen area?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So this guy now realizes he's in big trouble, and so he gets in his car and he's driving to the hospital. He gets pulled over by the cops for speeding at 2 in the morning. And so they walk up to him, and he's just bleeding everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, oh, my gosh. So then they just called for the ambulance to come get him.
Yeah.
There was so much blood, they actually called for the fire department to come out and wash the street off. So he shows up, and he's holding his spleen and his intestines in his
hands. No way.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But he's still talking. And so
is he hurting?
Is he hurting?
Oh, yeah, he was hurting. So I was his doctor, so I said, what happened? So then he told me that story, and then we wound up, you know, starting to resuscitate him. So we gave him some blood and intubated him, put him to sleep, and sent him off to the operating room.
Wow. First of all, who has a sword above their bed?
I do.
You know what?
Oh, you do?
No. But I've seen swords above beds when I've gone in on EMS calls.
You have?
I've seen guns. I've seen lots of swords.
Oh, okay.
That's a thing.
Yeah. A lot of swashbucklers out there.
You never know. Honestly.
Well, you don't ever know.
You never know when a pirate is going to come through your door.
You don't. That's why this is R-rated, not R.
What?
R.
Never mind. You didn't get it.
Okay.
Okay. That was a good story.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Another one.
So recently, I had been moonlighting in Arizona for the last couple years. And recently there was this guy that came in and he was there because he was suicidal. He was about 50 years old. He was drunk and apparently had been doing some mushrooms. And so I hadn't actually seen him yet. He had just gotten there. And he comes out to the nurse's station counter and grabs his clothes. Because they'd already taken his clothes away, right? That's part of the suicide evaluation and workup. Your belongings.
Because you're less suicidal when you're naked?
You're less likely to complete suicide.
I'm suicidal when I look in the mirror naked. So I think clothes would help me, actually.
Well, they give you a gown.
Oh,
you just don't get your personal belongings.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Any psych eval done in the ER. You lose your belongings. That's okay. Almost okay. Every hospital, it's their policy.
Okay.
So he'd gotten in a gown, and he was apparently cooperative up until that point. But like I said, just shortly after he got there, he came out to the nurse's station and grabbed his clothes. And so the clerk at the nurse's station said, "Hey, you can't have that." And he just points at her and yells at her, "F you." And she's kind of like, okay. And so he walks back to his room. And so the charge nurse, he's 6'2" and 285 pounds, super nice, chill guy, wouldn't hurt a flea. He walks over there, starts putting on gloves, which are outside the patient room.
Okay.
And this patient just comes out of the room, doesn't have a shirt on. He put his pants on, but he just started punching this nurse right in the face. And so I had actually walked over there, and I was like, hey, stop. You know, the nurse had kind of pinned him and grabbed him so that he couldn't really swing, but the guy had wiggled himself loose and started punching the nurse again. And so I actually reached out there and grabbed the guy's arm, and I was like, hey, you know, stop that. And so then he turned towards me, and he was like, oh, yeah? And so he swung at me, but I jumped back, and like I said, he was drunk, and so he fell on his face. And so then he gets back up, and he's ready to fight just whoever.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Engage him. And so meanwhile, you know, they called security and the police, and I'm pretty dismayed at security. All they do there, I guess, is just wear a jacket that says security. Because he came over, and he saw this guy being really violent, and he was like, call the cops. We're like, huh. That's what you do.
Wow. Peace out.
So he left. And so one of the nurses actually kind of followed him out the hospital so that she could tell the police where he was going. And there's a Walmart just a block away. So he was headed over towards the Walmart.
Oh, wow.
It was already dark. And so I guess he had circled around the hospital and jumped in the police car and drove off.
What? So,
what?
Yeah. So what? then they pulled him over, and he wouldn't get out, and so he got roughed up a little bit. But he came back now for medical clearance to go to jail.
Oh, my God.
And so I went in there, and I hadn't really talked to him except tell him to quit beating up the nurse, you know. And so I asked him, I said, so how you doing today? He's like, well, so he's face down, okay? There's 8 policemen there in the room.
Wow.
Just waiting for him to flinch, right? Because they'll just beat him up, I guess, if he is disorderly. But he's like, well, I'm going to be honest. This is not my best day.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we always say that. It's never your best day when you call 911 or go to the ER. We always say that.
It's not, yeah.
But that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All kind of charges crazy. Against him. How was the nurse? Did they have to be treated?
Yeah, he had to check in, and he wound up busting up the skin around his left eye and,
oh, wow.
And separating that pretty bad. So I told him I'd stitch him up, but it was going to be a minute. But I wound up giving him 14 stitches there to try to put all that back.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Wow. My heavens.
Have they changed the security since then?
No. And in the hospital there, you know, it's policy that even if you work in a hospital, you basically can't lay hands on a patient. You can't harm a patient. Mm. And so, you know, there, no one would charge him if he defended himself by punching back or something like that. But the hospital would let you go because that's its policy.
That is crazy.
I don't think we have that policy here. That's a terrible policy. I mean, I
bet it's pretty similar here.
Really?
No kidding.
So you can't, I guess...
You can't use
like
force.
Run at them with some drugs and
like a big needle. Can
oh,
you,
well,
can you like,
yeah,
like we, a sword needle?
a sword. Wow, that's crazy. That was a really good story. Of course, those kind of things never happen here.
Yeah, there have been some crazies.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've had some crazies.
You and I are usually in the middle of them or something.
Yeah, we've had some crazies. Okay, so just a couple things that I've noticed in my years of being an EMS here at the hospital. Some trends that I've seen lately, I've seen a lot of kids overdosing on gummies.
Oh, really?
Like CBD gummies.
Really?
Yes. So I don't work in the ER very often,
but
the last 2 times I've been in the ER, we've had a little kid in there.
The same kid?
No.
Oh.
2 different, but they got into their parents' CBD gummies that ended up being marijuana gummies. I don't know how it all works, but
I don't either.
Yeah.
Tell us, Dr. Cal, How does it work? Wow. And you haven't seen that yet?
Yeah, I had one of those. This kid had gotten into mom's CBD chocolate bar.
A chocolate bar. Wow.
And ate a big amount of
it.
Oh,
my God.
And this kid was little, like, I can't remember, two?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I recollect, too.
Maybe under 2 years old. So we went, that kid was started getting real goofy, so we sent him down. And not goofy like, you know,
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
From the movie Friday, it's not like that goofy.
Yeah.
This kid was like not aware of his surroundings. And his blood pressure became poor. And
stuff
like this.
Poor kids.
So we wound up sending him down to Primary Children's.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so sad.
But the good news is that most of those, as long as you keep their breathing good and their blood pressure managed, you know, their liver will metabolize it all off. They'll be fine. But it's just that intermediate period. You just have to make sure you support them while their body recovers.
My gosh.
Sure. Wow.
So this goes along with our G-rated podcast here. But the other thing that I've seen 3 times now is what they call a testicular torsion.
Oh. I think... I know what you're talking about.
This is a real thing.
This? From this?
No, that's not.
Oh, because okay. I've seen that a couple of times.
No, this is...
I just want you to describe what your hand gesture is.
Yeah, MJ, just describe what you were doing right there. You need to give the visual to our listeners. She was like the size of a walnut to the size of a grapefruit?
Bigger.
Is that what you're doing? Bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's called a hydrocele.
Oh, okay.
So that's
it was called.
So what's a hydrocele?
So hydrocele, normally all body parts have fluid that go to them and your body returns the fluid back to the heart and it pumps it all around. So sometimes you get fluid that's not actually blood and it can actually build up in the scrotum.
Okay.
In a pocket. And so that's called the hydrocele. Hydro meaning water, seal meaning like a cyst almost or a pocket. And so some of those can be impressive. You can actually get a hydrocele on either side, either the right or the left side.
Yeah.
But either one, alone or together, they can make the scrotum the size of a cantaloupe or a basket.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you pop it?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
So let's say you...
Come on.
Let's say you put a scalpel to it, right?
Yeah.
It would just leak fluid. It wouldn't actually heal the problem. So what they have to do is they have to go in and surgically repair those. And so they usually figure out where the defect is. It has to do with, again, fluid management. So what they do is they just tack down I'm not even sure exactly which part of the spermatic cord, basically, that comes around the testicles. They basically just tack that down.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So that it can't do that anymore.
Okay.
No, so the testicular torsion, and it can happen to any male from what I've seen. I've seen it in a 14-year-old, and I've seen it in older guys. But it's basically where the testicle twists inside.
Oh,
And it stops the blood flow to the testicle.
Okay.
And the 3 that I have seen, it looks like it's the most painful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're sobbing, they're crying,
right.
Vomiting.
Sometimes vomiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it in a baseball hit the pitcher.
And it twisted his nut?
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, the one guy was just sleeping.
Oh.
He was sleeping and woke up in the worst excruciating pain. He didn't do anything, from what I understand.
Wow.
At least that's a story he gave.
Yeah, so a torsion is a spontaneous twisting of the testicle.
Spontaneous,
inside of the scrotum. It's usually not due to any kind of trauma.
Wow.
And so it's mostly younger males that get it, usually either prepubescent or puberty aged. That's the most common demographic, but it can happen in any age.
Mm.
And so what happens is some males, they think that they probably have these spontaneously torsions, meaning it's twisting on the spermatic cord, which carries the blood supply to it. And so that twisting can pinch off the blood supply, and that's what causes the pain, because now your testicle is dying from lack of blood.
Oh, my gosh.
And
poor
so
people.
It is one of the most painful things that probably a male could deal with.
And it can probably only be corrected in surgery?
Well,
or can you, like, twist it?
You can do a manual detorsion.
Oh, my gosh.
And so usually what I do for that is I give them a huge slug of narcotic pain medicine, and then I just go for it. So the way we're actually taught is you actually twist it like you're opening a book. So you basically face them. And so you grab...
And you open their book.
You grab the testicles, and you turn them... outward as if you're opening a book open.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And because it's very time sensitive.
Yeah.
Like Travis kind of alluded to, you have about 6 hour window to correct it.
Oh, wow.
Is what they say the average is.
Well, if any of our listeners ever have this little problem, better go to Dr. Call.
You are going to get your book read for sure. So, Dr. Call, this leads to, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but this leads to a question that I always have in my mind. So, as an ER physician, you have your protocols and your things that you do because you're medically trained. As an EMT for the hospital, we have our protocols that we're trained. So let's just say that one night we get paged out to Dr. Call's residence for a sword to the abdomen. And when I get there, you're holding your spleen. Okay?
Okay.
Because that's what happens to people. As an ER physician, you're probably going to be telling me what you want me to do. But what would you want to have happen to you in that situation from EMS?
An IV and a timely transport.
You don't want any pain meds?
Yeah, and
pain you don't meds. Want you don't want me to stop the bleeding?
I
you don't
definitely want pain meds.
Okay, so I need some particulars here. I want to know what you would want. I just want to know.
Probably just fentanyl and then intubate me.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know.
That way I have no recollection of anything else.
Okay, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. Because if I ever had, I don't know, I've never seen a spleen hanging out. I don't ever want to know what that feeling is. But if I ever get the testicular torsion, the double T, I want to be intubated.
Mm-hmm. I think you want ketamine.
Well,
yeah,
I want a ketamine drip. But what I'm saying is if I'm out and I'm intubated and reading my book doesn't fix it, then I want to die.
Okay.
That's all right. I want that in my DNR.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Cause I already have, I have a do not see naked, a DNSN, right?
Yeah.
I have a do not catheter.
Okay.
All of these things.
Okay.
So if I ever have like a really bad urinary tract infection or something, I want to be intubated and then done.
Do you want your sword on your chest to be buried with it?
No, okay. I don't think I would care about the sword, but I do want to die with, with the rock on signs. So if you can rigor mortis my hands into the rock on signs.
I could totally do that.
Would you mind?
Yeah. No, I would do it.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
I think my biggest fear in life is being in like a car accident. Or I don't snowmobile anymore for this one reason, is I'm afraid I'm going to wake up in the ambulance with all of my friends and I'm going to be laying there naked in a stretcher and you and Cooper and Paul and everybody's going to be looking at me like, dude.
We'll be laughing. We're not going to be we're going to be laughing hard.
You need to take some testosterone pills.
Wow.
Or something, you know what I mean? I just feel like that's like, if you were to ask me what my worst thought is, it would be that.
Okay then,
waking up naked with
there
a,
you go
with
folks.
A double T.
Yeah, there you go.
Dr. Call, are your plans to stay in the hospital in Star Valley now for a long time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I don't have anywhere
can
to
we
go.
Get rid of you at any time soon, or are you planning on staying?
No.
Good,
that's wonderful. We love you here.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
What would you like to say to the people of Arkansas that you moved away from a long time ago? Is there anything you'd like to say to them?
Sayonara. Arkansas. So I grew up in Northwest Arkansas where Walmart's headquarters is. Oh. And so it has grown so much. When I was, I remember being in elementary school and Rogers, Arkansas was about 10 or 12,000 people. When I graduated high school, I remember it was 26,000 people. And then now it's like 60,000 people. It's just grown so much that it's almost unrecognizable to
me.
They've built so many roads and, you know, bought people's property to expand the roads and and put new power lines and new stoplights and then all these new shopping centers and all this. Even added some new exits on the freeway and a big shopping mall out there and stuff like I don't even recognize
wow.
so much of it anymore.
Can you imagine a town filled with Walmartians? Ooh, 60,000 of them.
Well, and that's what...
What in the world are Walmartians?
You don't know what a Walmartian is?
No.
Oh, well. We'll talk later.
Okay. Am I missing something? Did I miss something?
Yeah.
Where in the heck did aliens come from in this conversation?
Well, you know, I squirreled for a sec.
Okay. All right. You lost me there.
Okay.
Dr. Call, do you believe that our Air Force is shooting down weather balloons, or do you believe that they are shooting down UFOs?
Neither.
Neither. Do tell. I'm just curious.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm influenced by what I read.
Right, absolutely, as
but,
we all are.
But my suspicion is that there's some kind of surveillance balloons, not weather balloons.
Cool. But what about all these other little metal objects that they've shot down like three of them?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about those for a while.
I have too.
I don't know how to reconcile it. I remember seeing a couple years ago, there's a video that supposedly was from the Air Force of some UFO type metal thing that moved super
fast. So fast, yes.
Did you see this?
I did. Video? I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And I remember thinking, is that an actual UFO? Or is this something else? You know, I don't know the answer.
So I think we don't know the answer, but we do know the answer. I don't know. I just love to think of that stuff.
I pulled up. There's a website for Walmartians. And these
Walmartians. Oh, people of Walmart. I get it. That's where it came from.
You knew what a Walmartian was, right? See?
It's a great website.
It's a great... Oh, you know about it? That's funny.
So one last thing, Dr. Call, and we'll sign off and let you get back to your life. But medically speaking, because I love learning about medical stuff. If you were to come in the ER as a patient and you were in the worst pain of your life, what do you want given to you?
I
could give you 25 mics of fentanyl.
I want more than that.
Okay, but this I need specific. Yeah, you're coming in and a shark is latched onto your leg and it's twisting and turning. And then I've got you in a headlock twisting your neck. You're having a hard time breathing. I need to know what specifically to give Dr. Call.
I'd say at least 100 of fentanyl to start.
Okay, we're starting. Now what?
And then if that doesn't cut it, then another 100.
Well, it's not going to cut it. I'm here to tell you. It's not. If you have a shark on your leg twisting and turning, 200 mics of fentanyl is probably not going to get it done.
Oh, wow. We have really gone sideways.
I love this conversation just because. So when I had shoulder surgery,
yeah,
I went in there and they were going to give me the nerve block in my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave me some fentanyl. And I'm like, that's cool. Because you give it all the time in the ambulance, but you never know what it's like.
Right.
So they gave me 50 fentanyl. And then they gave 2 milligrams of Versed.
Mm-hmm.
That is the real stuff.
Yeah.
Versed is no joke.
Yeah, you kind of forget for
so
a bit.
So I sat and watched this big needle. I didn't forget. I was the lucid. I watched this big needle go into my neck where they were like trying mm-hmm. to poke my nerve or whatever they were doing. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I was just thinking, you know, a little Versed before church on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
A little Versed before the dental office. You know, I don't know why we don't do that.
We have spiraled.
Well, Versed sounds lovely, Travis. I would love to have some.
Well,
we know what to give you.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
There you go.
And I've heard stories about you at church. I don't think you need Versed before church.
I don't either.
I fell asleep on the stand once and drooled on the bishop next to me. But he was a good guy. He didn't even wake me up. He just let me drool on him.
Was that Dan back then?
No, that was Luke Brogue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good guy. Well, Dr. Call, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
We appreciate your time, and we know you guys are busier than heck, and just appreciate you coming in and talking with us. And
nice to get to know
yeah,
you
nice
better
to get to know
and
you
your family. And
you better.
Yeah. That's
and
awesome.
If there's anything we can ever do for you to repay the favor, please let us know.
We know what Travis will be doing.
I just want to be your doctor when you're naked.
Dude, I have a DNSN, remember? There will be no seen naked by anybody in the
ambassador. Oh my goodness.
I think I could handle the gown.
I don't know. Sometimes the gown is not so great.
No, it's better than suicidal ideologies, looking at myself naked in the mirror. Anyway, this is Why Your Story Podcast. Coming to you from Afton, Wyoming, home of SBI Media. I'm Travis Osmond.
I am Mary Jo Parker.
You guys have a great day.
That's right.
Enjoy the next 9 months of winter.
Sometimes I wonder.